I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna for another live edition of the podcast with me, your host, Harry Simeon, part of the 90 Min Football Network, of course, is the Chronicles of Aguna, and we've got plenty of transfer chat to work our way through again. A big hello to everybody joining us in the live chat. I have to apologize again that the times of the show have been really, really varied over the last few days, but work's been really, really busy. And yeah, I've just been sort of trying to get in at any opportunity I can to make this happen. And we're here now. We're ready to dive into some Rafinha chat, which I know is what you're all here for. We're also going to be talking Jesus. We're going to be talking about Tielemans, a few other bits and pieces as well. Kartik says, this is the Chronicles of a Delayed Guna. I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even have a response. Genuinely don't. Before we dive into the thick of it, I want to say a big thank you to Richard, who's just signed up to become a member of the channel. And a big hello to Alex Hasib as well, who's also signed up. Guys, make sure you hit the community tab at the top of the channel and get yourselves the Discord server. Come into the Discord server. Join us. We chat in there. All day, every day. There's a great community building there, and it's part of your membership perk. So do head over there and make sure you take advantage of that. But a big thank you to both of you for your support of the channel. While I'm on the subject, so I don't forget a little bit later on, if you are interested in potentially becoming a member of the Chronicles of Aguna channel, don't do it just yet. Watch the show first. You might not like it. If you do, though, then you can click on the link in the description and come over and join us. Your support is very, very much appreciated, and it helps me continue to deliver Arsenal-related content on a daily basis. Right, okay, let's do this. Let's get into it. Arsenal apparently are close to signing Leeds United's Rafinha. Now, this is not a new link. It's not, you know, Fabio Vieira levels. Like, we've heard about this one for a while. It's been something that has been talked about for quite a few months now. And I've got to be honest, you know, there was at one time I thought it was likely, then I thought maybe it isn't. We kind of got the vibe or got the impression based on a piece that The Athletic put out the other day that this is a deal that would be contingent on Arsenal being able to move Nicolas Pepe out of the door and out of the club. Are we any closer to doing that? Not to my knowledge. It's not something I'm aware of. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see on that. But according to a number of reports today, Arsenal are really, really pushing hard and trying to get this deal done. Now, we'll come on to talk about what that means for some of the other deals, because there has been an update from Charles Watts that isn't new, but kind of reiterates and reinforces what we've heard about the Yuri Tielemans deal in the last few days, which is that Arsenal have put a pin in that. And are no longer looking at that as a priority at this stage. They may return to it between now and the end of the window, but they're trying to push forward with a number of other signings. And I guess they don't want to get caught up in this discussion with Leicester City, caught up in this transfer that's proving to be far more problematic, I guess, than some people were suggesting earlier on in the month. So, yeah, we don't really know exactly what the snag is with Yuri Tielemans. I told you guys the other day, I'd heard from some people that it was the intermediaries involved causing a problem. Others say that Leicester City have just decided that they want more money for Yuri Tielemans. I'm not sure that's the case. But yeah, you know, we don't actually know what the deal is, what the situation is there. But we do know from a number of sources now that Arsenal have, I guess, stepped away from this one, at least for the time being. But that means all attention can be turned elsewhere. So what exactly is the update? Well, let's bring you up to speed with what is being reported. So initially, earlier today, Adria Soldevia, a Spanish journalist over at Goal, came out with the news that Rafinha was close to signing for Arsenal. Now, he says that Rafinha simply, who has, you know, told people time and time again that Barcelona is ultimately where he'd like to end up. Apparently, according to the story, Rafinha is, and I quote, tired of waiting for Barcelona, who I quote, have disappeared in the negotiations. Now, Barcelona have been very vocal about wanting to sign a number of players this summer, but we know their financial problems have made it difficult for them. We know that they don't have as much cash to throw about as they'd like people to think. They're no longer the Barca of a decade ago that were all-conquering, all-powerful, and had the deepest pockets you've probably ever seen, along with Real Madrid. Those two sides are no longer as powerful and no longer as dominant, of course, in the football finance world, if that's what you want to call it. So, you know, it seems that Rafinha may well have agreed terms with them, and that is what Fabrizio Romano went on to say. But we'll come on to his update in a minute. Let me just finish with Adria Soldevia's one. He says, as I say, that Rafinha has got tired of waiting for Barcelona, who have disappeared from the negotiations, who have talked and talked and talked about the idea of signing Rafinha, but are yet to actually make an offer for him. According to that same journalist, the winger who scored 11 Premier League goals last season for a struggling Leeds United side is open to a move to Arsenal. A good offer has been made to Leeds United by the Gunners. And if nothing goes wrong, is what it says, that deal could take place as soon as next week. Fabrizio Romano has since come out and he's provided his update on the situation. So we're not hearing this just from one source now. It's starting to gather pace as a story. Fabrizio Romano says Barca and Rafinha had got as far as a personal agreement. So the two had agreed on personal terms for the player, but no fee has been agreed with Leeds United, whereas Arsenal have been in contact with Leeds United since they first showed an interest in the player way, way, way back in March. The fee could be, or is expected to be, though, or the fee that Leeds are asking for at least, is in the region of 60 to 65 million pounds. Are Arsenal going to pay all of that money for Rafinha? Are Arsenal going to feel that, given Rafinha's desire to leave the club, that they could potentially take advantage of this situation and get him for slightly cheaper? I'm not sure. Look, there's a part of me that's like, just pay what you need to pay and get the deal done and move on and everybody's happy and we can worry about whether that was a lot of money in the event that the player doesn't perform. But I don't believe that Arsenal's budget this summer is unlimited. I don't believe that Arsenal are going to be sort of throwing in excess of £150 million around overall. So I think that Arsenal probably do need to think about this. If we're not going to sign Yuri Tielemans, if that's been put on the back burner, does that mean we've got another midfield target in mind? Or is Fabio Vieira the only midfielder that's coming in? And is Yuri Tielemans and that position no longer a priority so that we can stretch to get the likes of Rafinha? We don't know. It's all up in the air at the moment. But yeah, it seems like, according to a number of sources, Arsenal are really trying to get this deal done. Then we had an update this evening from Charles Watts over at Goal in the UK, the Arsenal correspondent, very reliable, very trustworthy. He came out with this. The Gunners are set to take a step back in their pursuit of the Leicester City midfielder, Yuri Tielemans, while they edge closer to securing their other target. Talks about the fact that Tielemans has been one of the club's key targets during the window so far, and we had expected to be able to do the deal for around about £25 million. However, Goal have been told that the Gunners have taken a step back in their pursuit of the 25-year-old while they focus on completing other deals this summer, including that of long-term target Gabriel Jesus. So Arsenal not completely walking away from Yuri Tielemans, and no journalist is reporting that they've completely walked away from Yuri Tielemans, but it seems that Arsenal are taking a step back, perhaps just temporarily, in order to complete some of the other deals that they want to get done. Lots and lots to chew through in this episode, and believe me, we're going to be sharing opinions. I'm going to get in your thoughts, your views on the subjects discussed. There's so, so much to break down, but I just want to take a quick pause to welcome another member who signed up this evening, Stephen Hogger. Thank you so, so much, mate, for joining. Really, really do appreciate the support. As I said to the other guys, make sure you join the Discord server via the link in the YouTube community tab. I also want to say a big thank you to Harvey, who has very, very kindly donated to the stream. Thank you so, so much. He says, "This is just because you're great, even if you are sometimes late. The best always are, my friend." No, I'm joking. Thank you so, so much, man. Really, really do appreciate the support from you guys. So let me start by giving you guys my thoughts on the Rafinha situation. So if you cast your minds back, it's probably about a month, month and a half ago now, to an episode that myself and Mike Stavrou did. I think we called it Spending Arsenal's Transfer Budget, something along those lines. We came up with a kind of make-believe transfer budget, something similar to what we thought was going to be the budget, around about £120 million. And we did it based on the transfermarkt.co.uk valuations. Now, I know those valuations aren't very good, but we needed to set some sort of parameters if we were going to undertake that type of exercise. And one of the players that I picked was Rafinha, because I think he'd be a superb addition to this Arsenal side. Now, the common kind of question that I'm seeing on social media, and one of the things that a lot of my kind of friends have been asking me as we've been speaking throughout the day about this is, well, why would you go and spend 60, 65 million pounds, which is what it's rumoured to cost in order to get Rafinha away from Leeds United? Why would you do that when he's a player that thrives and plays very, very well in Bukayo Saka's position? Now, I completely agree with that. Okay, it doesn't feel like a major priority, but you kind of want to keep adding to those options. You kind of want to keep, you know, adding depth in those areas so that when someone's having an off day, in the way that Bukayo Saka did on numerous occasions towards the back end of last season, you've got another option that can come into the side and take the game by the scruff of the neck. What I would say about Rafinha, though, is he's not just effective from the right-hand side. Of course, he's a left-footed player and he loves to drift in from that right-hand side, and he's done it for Leeds throughout his time in the Premier League to very, very good effect. But this is a guy who can play centrally in behind the striker, and he's a guy who can play from the left. I truly do believe that Rafinha could play in all of those positions comfortably. I think that you could stick him up front in an emergency situation if you really needed to. I think he's just as creative as he is a goal threat individually. I think he would bring so, so much to the table. And this is a player that, okay, you're going to take an element of a risk on because we're talking about crazy money here, but this is a player who's proven that he can deliver in the Premier League and who's proven that he can do it even in a struggling side. He's been Leeds' go-to man. He's been Leeds' best player by quite some distance. He's 25 years old. He's a fully fledged Brazilian international. And so if you want him, you've got to pay top dollar. Now, the other thing that convinces me or kind of gives me the impression that Arsenal are not just being knee-jerk here is that Rafinha has been a target supposedly for a while. Rafinha was linked with Arsenal prior to even joining Leeds United. Back when he was playing his football in France with Stade Rennais, he was a player that was heavily linked with a move to the Gunners, and that never happened, which suggests that, okay, although it didn't happen, he was on Arsenal's radar previously. So this is not Arsenal just waking up one morning and going, we need a winger, bang, Rafinha's not going to Barcelona, let's try and steal in on this. This is something that Arsenal have been looking at for a while. Can we do it? I think we probably can. Should we do it for 60, 65 million pounds? We say this all the time. If he comes to Arsenal and he delivers, nobody gives a shit what it costs KSE. That's how I look at it. As long as he comes here and he does what's necessary and he takes the team up to a higher level. And let's be honest, you know, we talked a lot about Bukayo Saka, about Smith Rowe, about Martinelli last season, how good they were, how impactful they were, how much they helped us as a football team and how much at times they carried this side on their shoulders. But ultimately, when push came to shove, we were a little bit short, and not solely because of them, but partly because of them. And we need players that are at that next stage in their career where consistency is going to be far more prevalent, where consistency is going to be far clearer to see. And I'm not saying that you don't want a Saka and you don't want a Martinelli and you don't want a Smith Rowe, but we need a bit of that as well. We need a bit of that seasoned professionalism, people that have been around the block, people who have experienced the Premier League for more years, who have experienced European football, who are just, you know, a little bit more ripe in their sort of progression. That's what we need. And Rafinha would certainly give us that in those wide areas. So I'd be delighted if we could get this deal done. But I've got to be honest, there is a tiny little part of me and there is a nagging voice in the back of my head telling me that this could be an agent-led story. And I know a lot of the stories that we hear are agent-led, so that sounds a bit daft, that first you know, at first when you hear it. But the point I'm trying to make here is Rafinha has repeatedly said he wants Barcelona. Barcelona would quite like Rafinha. But you have to assume that what's held that back is the fact that Barcelona don't have the finances to do that deal. They've gone quiet, according to the report that we read earlier today, with regards to the negotiations directly with Leeds United. Barcelona, and I quote, have disappeared from the negotiations. Why? Because they're biding their time. Because they're trying to find a way to finance a deal that they probably at this moment in time can't finance. And so what I am trying to say here is that nagging voice in the back of my head, it's telling me that Rafinha's agents want this out there in order to give Barcelona a kick up the backside to potentially do the deal and cough up for their client. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% the case. And it could be a game that, you know, the agents are playing that blows up in their faces if Barcelona just don't respond to that. But I am a little bit concerned about that. I am a little bit worried about that. And I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a thought that's crossed my mind throughout the duration of today. But the more this story rumbles on, the more positive things we hear about it, the more optimistic I'm becoming. But there is, as I keep saying, that little voice in the back of my head that's just urging caution with regards to Rafinha. How would he settle in at Arsenal? Well, there's a huge Brazilian contingent there now, developing, forming. We've just signed a Portuguese player as well. So those two can come in together potentially, help each other through the experience. So I'm kind of in this place where I'm not all too worried about the fact that some people are reporting Rafinha's English is very, very limited. I don't think that's going to be a problem at Arsenal. And I don't think with a coach like Mikel Arteta, that's something you really, really have to worry about. He is bilingual. He is someone who can, you know, adapt. He is someone who's an incredibly good communicator. And we've seen him do it in multiple languages throughout his time at Arsenal Football Club. So I'm not massively fearful of that. I feel like people are just trying to piss on our parade a little bit by kind of throwing that around social media this evening. Big thank you to Hadi Shabazz for his very, very kind super chat donation as well. Thank you so, so much, mate. He says, I get your suspicion, but I think he's a goon. Or fingers crossed, because this is not me just sort of jumping on it and going, oh my God, we're linked with Rafinha. I really want Rafinha. I've always wanted Rafinha. As I said, if you go back to a video that we did, myself and Mike Stavrou, maybe a month and a half ago now, on this channel, we spoke in depth about the players we'd like to see come in. And Rafinha was one of those that I mentioned. Gabriel Jesus was one that Mike mentioned. And we're hearing, hopefully, that progress is being made on that as well. So, look, we've talked Rafinha. And if and when this moves forward, we'll dig into Rafinha a little bit more and we'll bring you some sort of opinion on how I think Rafinha could really fit in and how I think Rafinha could add to the squad in what ways specifically. But let's move on to talk about some of those other targets that we've been discussing. We touched on the Tielemans thing, Arsenal seemingly just backing off of that one for the time being. Gabriel Jesus, obviously being linked with the club throughout the duration of the window so far, even before it opened. But there are some murmurings from a number of outlets that there are a number of clubs still interested in Gabriel Jesus. And that could potentially be why this is taking a little bit of time. Now, two of the names mentioned have been Chelsea and Tottenham. I don't believe he'd pick Tottenham over us. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a gooner. I really don't understand this hype around Tottenham at the moment. You know, great. They qualify for the Champions League. Happy days. They managed to keep hold of Antonio Conte for the time being. Great for them. Fantastic. But when you look at the business they've gone out and done in this transfer window, is any of it the type of business that screams we're in the Champions League and we're going to push on next season? I don't think it does. From a status perspective, it doesn't look as good, in my opinion, as some people are making it out to be. Let me tell you why. Yves Bissouma, a midfielder from Brighton, is that a signing that they couldn't have made without Champions League football? I don't think so. Fraser Forster, free transfer from Southampton. Backup goalkeeper, could they have done that deal too? I think they could have. Ivan Perisic, he's gone there because he wants to reunite with Antonio Conte. But he probably would have gone without Champions League football too at his age on a decent pay packet, as is likely to be the case, given it was a free transfer. And they're being linked heavily with Jed Spence, a championship right back. So, look, I'm not wishing to shit on those signings because, you know, they could well turn out to be great signings. The point I'm trying to make is they're not exactly statement signings. They're not exactly signings that make you go, whoa, Tottenham mean business. Or, whoa, the fact that they got in the Champions League has really elevated them and given them the ability to go out and pluck out players that they wouldn't have got anywhere near before. So that's where I'm at on it. But going back to Arsenal, a few places are linking Gabriel Jesus, to Chelsea, to Spurs. But Jonathan Smith, a Manchester City correspondent over at Goal, said that the deal is getting closer and an announcement could be made in the next few days, potentially. Charles Watts's piece as well, in which he talked about Yuri Tielemans, goes on to say the following about Gabriel Jesus. Arsenal remain firmly in the hunt for him. Talks with City over Jesus are at a critical stage, but there is hope between all parties that an agreement can be reached quickly for the striker, whose City value at around about £50 million. Goal has learned that Jesus's representatives are now travelling to England in a bid to push through this transfer. Obviously, that is positive. It feels like it's moving in the right way. And, moving on from that, we're still hearing that the Fabio Vieira announcement is just around the corner. Charles Watts also went on to say Arsenal have already bolstered their midfield options this season with the capture of the Porto star. 22-year-old arrived in London on Friday to undergo a medical and complete the formalities on his £30 million switch. Arsenal hope to announce the signing of Vieira within the next 48 hours. So keep your eyes on that one. Okay. Lisandro Martinez, who we're also being linked with, and we heard that Arsenal made a bid for that was knocked back, obviously, an opening bid at the back end of last week. We're now hearing that Arsenal are going back in with another offer, but similarly to the Jesus situation, we're hearing that there are other clubs now interested. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. One of them apparently is Spurs. The other one is Manchester United. Erik ten Hag, of course, worked with Lisandro Martinez during his time at Ajax, knows all about the player. But having spoken to some people who cover Manchester United earlier today, the impression that they have is that although Erik ten Hag likes him, although there is that connection, although there is that relationship, he would prefer, if possible, to sign Jurrien Timber ahead of Lisandro Martinez, which could leave the door open for Arsenal and allow Arsenal to potentially get this done before a bidding war begins. And that is the last thing we bloody want at the moment, right? Again, is it agent-driven? Is it an attempt by his representatives in order to try and drive the price up? Is it an attempt by Ajax to try and drive the price up? Look, I'll tell you one thing. If we go out and get Gabriel Jesus and we get Rafinha over the line and we manage to get Lisandro Martinez, having already signed Marquinhos, having already brought in another goalkeeper, that would say to me that Arsenal mean bloody business. And I think a lot of the people that were losing their minds just a week ago will have to eat quite a substantial slice of humble pie because they were convinced that just because there hadn't been any movement yet, that Arsenal weren't going to do anything. Now, I know and appreciate when I say this that there's still work to be done, that these deals are not completed yet, and a lot of work is going to be needed between now and then to get them over the line. But it just goes to show that we don't always know everything looking from the outside in. I mean, look at the way the Fabio Vieira thing just snuck up on us. Because that's exactly what it did. It completely snuck up on us. It took us all by surprise. Out of the blue, bang, Arsenal had agreed terms. Bang, Arsenal had agreed personal terms with the player as well. And we moved forward. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I'm going to take some of your thoughts. I'm going to take some of your questions from the live chat as well. We're going to do that after a very, very brief pause. But before we take that very, very brief pause, I'd love you to head over or just scroll down below and click the like button on the video. There are over 700 of you with me live right now. There's 150 likes on the board. Let's get that up to 300. There's no reason why we can't achieve that and achieve that quickly. So please do hit the like button and subscribe to the channel if you are new, hoping to hit 21,000. subscribers on the YouTube channel this evening. That would be amazing if we could get over the line, and then we can start pushing towards the next mark. But please do like, share, subscribe. You know the drill by now. And if you're watching this back on replay, let me know your thoughts in the comments. Right, chat box, it's over to you. Start popping the questions in. I'll pick as many of them as I possibly can straight after this very, very short pause. Brilliant stuff. Before we jump into the questions, there was a comment I just wanted to touch on. Where was it? Something about, here we go. Pilgrim 17 says, why do we take pauses on a live show? There's no adverts, so there's no reason to. So the reason is, my friend, and you know, it's probably worth explaining. So those of you that might be thinking this as well, don't sit there going, yeah, why the hell is there a brief pause? But what it is the, as you know, the Chronicles of Aguna also goes out in audio format. It's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify, it's on Google, it's on Amazon Music, it's in all the major podcast stores. And we have a monetization deal in place for the audio content, and we need somewhere to put in the pre-recorded ad that slips in there. So rather than me just be talking and then bang, it cuts to a pre-recorded advert on some of the shows, we just put those very brief pauses in there so that in the event that the monetizers want to do that, they have a spot in which they can slot it in and it doesn't impact your listener experience. So that's why we do it. It is literally 3 or 4 seconds. I don't really see it as that big a deal, but yeah. Tariq Talk says, Big H, are you planning on doing another member show soon? Really enjoyed watching the last one. The Don of South London sends his regards. Creambone, yes, we are. We're going to try and get one done a little bit later on this week. It's a bit of a weird week this week. I don't know if you guys know, maybe if you're not based in London, I don't know if it's a nationwide problem. I know it's a London problem, but there is a tube and rail strike, which is an absolute nightmare. I've got to get into London, into central London, that is, twice this week. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to have to drive in, pay congestion charge, and God knows how much parking to get that done. But yeah, it's a bit of a pain at the moment. So my week diary is a little bit up in the air, but we will get that in the diary a little bit later on in the week. Christian Hoover says, do I think that with Rafinha potentially coming in, Saka would move over to the left wing? I'm not sure. I think that it certainly gives Mikel Arteta the option to change things around, to rotate players, to give them the opportunity to play in different areas. And it gives him the opportunity to interchange it in game as well. I think for me, I would probably argue, and Arsenal fans might disagree with this, that Rafinha is maybe a little bit more devastating than Bukayo Saka when he cuts in onto that left foot of his. I think he's got a better shot on him. I think he's got some aspects more in product. So maybe he'll feel that giving Rafinha the opportunity to play on his stronger foot on the right side would be better. I don't know. We'll have to see how that pans out. But it's an interesting thought. But I'm sure Mikel Arteta is just looking to add as much quality as he possibly can. And the headache around who plays where and when is one for tomorrow, I guess. Let's see what else we've got. Typically, Arsenal fans says, Harry, should we move on from Tielemans? Well, it depends what the reasons are for the holdup. As I said to you guys earlier, I'd been told that there was an issue with the intermediaries involved, and that was causing a delay and was causing problems. And that is what's caused this sort of hitting of a brick wall, if you like. I still like Yuri Tielemans, and whatever the issue is, as long as it isn't a Yuri Tielemans issue, then I'm okay with Arsenal kind of going, we'll step away from this for now. But if the opportunity presents itself to do the deal later on in the window, then we go back and we do it and we make it happen. I don't think we should completely shut the door on Yuri Tielemans, but I think if it's at the risk of holding us up in other areas and preventing us doing other business that we want to do, then we need to walk away from it, at least for now, in my opinion. Big hello to Yorgos, who says, hi, Harry, I'm back home after 5 days at the clinic. My wife had a baby and I saw no news. So give me all the news in 1 minute. I'll give you it in a few seconds. Arsenal are going transfer window crazy. There you go. That's the news with regards to what's happening at the moment. Gabriel Jesus said to be close. Rafinha said to be close. Lisandro Martinez bid submitted. Hopefully Arsenal can get these three deals over the line. But congratulations to you and your wife on the birth of your baby. It's the best feeling in the world. So a big congratulations to you both, of course. Right, let's keep moving through the chat box. Mickey Morris says, question, Harry, does the recent signings or the imminent signings or the signings that we're planning to make, I'm a bit reluctant to kind of get carried away in saying what I'm saying, drop my bloody pen on the floor. Does it indicate that Arsenal are copying the City model of having two equally qualified players for each position? Look, I think that's the dream. I think there isn't a manager in the world that wouldn't like that, that ability to rotate things, move things around, to be able to bring in fresh legs without impacting the quality so much. I think that was a problem for us last season. As I've said to you guys on numerous occasions, I think there was times where Saka, and I'm not picking on Saka, but it's just the most prevalent example. There were times towards the back end of the season where he clearly wasn't at it. And there was no trust. There was no faith in, for example, Nicola Pepe to step in and get us over the line or step in and contribute in a meaningful way. And then that led to Mikel Arteta, in my opinion, feeling as though he had to stick with a player who was out of form, who was blowing on empty, and then who would cop a lot of stick for not being able to deliver. So yeah, I think that's the dream. I think Mikel Arteta would like to get to that sort of space, but I think he recognises that there's a lot of work to be done there. And of course, we don't have the resource that Manchester City do. Robert Segal says, breaking news, my missus announces dinner's ready. You better get inside, mate, because I know when my missus cooks and I'm late and it's cold and then I moan that it's cold, I get told off. So you probably want to get there ASAP. Stick it on your phone and yeah, check it out. What else have we got in the chat box? You know what? Before we continue through in the chat box, I want to say a massive thank you to Craig, the Fort Lauderdale Gooner, who has added to my collection of scarves today. I've got the Fort Lauderdale Gooner's scarf, which he very, very kindly sent me all the way from Fort Lauderdale. So a big thank you to you, mate. Big shout out to everyone in the Fort Lauderdale Gooners Supporters Club. Love to you all, and hopefully I can get out there someday and come and watch a game with you guys or something. That'd be amazing. Thank you once again, mate, for sending that over, and I promise we'll feature it in the streams moving forward. Arthur says, not an Arsenal-related question, but what's so special about Mykonos? Seems like all the athletes go there. It's just one of the most beautiful places you could visit, mate. That's why. Very expensive, very exclusive, but beautiful scenery. Beautiful scenery. Okay. Richard Barker says, what's your expectation for this coming season? FA Cup final, Europa League final, top four? My expectation is to see Arsenal qualify for the Champions League. I don't really care how it comes about. I don't care if it's by finishing in the top four or if it's via the Europa League route. But Arsenal, having backed Mikel Arteta seemingly, or having or being about to back him, we think, in the way that we'd like, I think he's got to deliver now. Last season to me was still, it was still a little bit premature in terms of what maybe we thought we could achieve and what we ended up achieving, just because of some of the shortcomings in the squad and with some of our players. But I think if we do go on and have the summer that we think it might be shaping up to be, then I think that, yeah, Champions League has to be the expectation. I'm not going to say I'd prefer to do it by finishing in the top four, because I'd love to see Arsenal win a European trophy. It would be amazing. What a way to do it. But I think if we did finish in the top four, that would be a much greater indicator of progression than winning a cup competition. Because I do think that the league is always the barometer from which you should assess a team's improvement. You know, that ability to be consistent is huge. And if you can do that in league over the course of an entire season, then clearly you're showing progress. What else have we got? A few of you kind of a little bit skeptical about some of the deals that we're talking about and whether they're actually going to materialize. Understand where you're coming from, because we've been let down before. But, you know, let's try and enjoy the ride a little bit. What else have we got? Ason says, do you think Arsenal will actually sign all these players that we're linked with, considering our history? Tielemans, Jesus, Martinez, Rafinha, Vieira and Turner. For me, it's really hard to believe what Vieira and Turner have done. So those two are done. Jesus is clearly one that Arsenal want to get done. And we're being told by multiple people that, you know, that is the priority at the moment. Martinez, we're waiting for Arsenal to go back in with another bid. So we'd assume that that's one that they at the very least want to do. And we've heard with Tielemans that Arsenal, as I say, have just walked away from that one for the time being. What else have we got in the chat? Let me keep scrolling through. Noel Tolaback says, Harry, don't you think the reason the Jesus deal was slowed down is due to his newborn baby? It could be. It could be. And this is, again, a prime example of why people shouldn't panic, you know, because it looked like it wasn't moving. It looked like it was dead. It looked like nothing was happening. And now we're hearing this evening that his representatives are on their way to London to try and get this done. Things happen in people's lives that delay things. And as football fans, we're not always privy to that. We're not always aware of all the information. We don't always have the full picture upon which to base our opinions. So, yeah, that could be a factor. Congratulations to Gabriel Jesus, by the way, on the birth of his baby. But yeah, perhaps that has caused the delay. Who knows? Let's keep moving. Nikomo says, why are people worried about Saka whenever we're linked to a right winger? Surely we need competition in all positions. No one should be guaranteed a place. Completely agree. You're right. There should be competition. And also, if Bukayo Saka, as we kind of talked about maybe, what, 2-3 weeks ago, is kind of in two minds about whether he wants to commit his long-term future, so beyond the next 2 years, to Arsenal Football Club, then surely we should be in a position at that point where we can then demand top dollar, because we don't desperately, we don't have our backs up against the wall. We're not in a pressure situation. We'd have a player that, yeah, of course, we don't want to lose, but if you had the likes of Rafinha around the club and then you could get top dollar for Bukayo Saka, let's just say for argument's sake, you could then potentially let him go and potentially that be your Felipe Coutinho moment, to reference a Liverpool example, whereby you reinvest those significant funds in the right way and you take your team to the next level like that in the click of a finger. Now, I'm not saying I want to sell him. Don't take that the wrong way. What I am saying is that if there's competition in all areas, then nobody becomes completely indispensable. And that's what Arsenal would want in an ideal world, wouldn't they? Okay. What else have we got? MOT LUFC 1919, a Leeds fan. Welcome, mate. Good to see some different fans in the chat as well. Welcome. He says, you guys are in for a treat. If Rafinha joins, he's a different class. Superb player. And good to hear that as well from Leeds fans. But just hoping that we can come to an agreement on that fee, because I feel like the fee is going to be the stumbling point here. If it is rumoured that Leeds want £60 to £65 million, I do think that that is a little bit on the high side, but then equally, I don't expect them to start low. They won't want to be lowballed. I'd say about £50 million is a fairer fee for Rafinha, but Leeds are going to want to recuperate as much as they possibly can, as would any club in that position. So I understand it, but I think there's still got to be a bit more negotiation in this one. And that's why I'm not kind of getting carried away with the idea of it happening in the next few days. I think it will take a bit of time if indeed it is to materialize. Charlie says, if we spend over 200 mil, I expect a title challenge, to be honest. Only Champions League qualification doesn't cut it. I don't expect us to spend 200 mil, not anywhere near it. If you think about what we're in line to do, you're talking Lisandro Martinez, £35 million. Let me get my calculator out here. We don't want any mistakes in the maths. But if you're talking Lisandro Martinez, you're talking £35 million. If you're talking Vieira, you're talking £25 million, roughly. That's 60. If you add Rafinha into the equation, 60. Again, let's say, to average it out, that's 120. And then if you're talking about Gabriel Jesus, you're probably talking about 165, 170 maximum. So I don't think we'll go up to 200. But that's assuming that all of those deals get done. And I'm not sure that all of them are going to go through. But I understand, you know, then we'd have spent a fair amount of money. you'd have spent a fair amount of money. John, lots of Greek island questions on this show. He says, Harry, I'm on holiday in Crete. Is this the worst Greek island because the food is pony? Mate, it is not. Where the hell are you in Crete? He says, I went to Santorini a few years back and it was immense. Any other recommendations? Mate, which part of Crete are you in? Because Crete is beautiful. The food is amazing. The people are some of the friendliest in Greece. I feel like you're just having a really rotten experience. Let me know whereabouts you're at in Crete, because whenever I've been, it's been superb. It's the only one of the Greek islands that makes me feel like Cyprus, which is the motherland, obviously. But yeah, let me know. I'm surprised to hear you say that. Really, really surprised. I know the rest of the people in the chat probably don't give a shit, but apologies. Anyway, let's keep going. Deno says, Harry, do you think the manager likes the idea of Martinez as a Mascherano type player who can cover for Tierney? I certainly think that Lisandro Martinez's versatility is right at the top of the list of qualities that would have caught Mikel Arteta and Edu's eye. I think the ability to provide cover to Gabriel in the shape of a left-footed centre-half, which we don't have at the moment, because obviously Pablo Marie was that player and is now looking as though he's going to leave the club on a permanent basis. So to bring in that cover, but to also have somebody who could tuck in and fill in if necessary for Kieran Tierney, I think is so, so important, so huge. And add to that that he can play as a defensive midfielder if needs be as well. You know, maybe that's the additional midfielder. You know, we talk about maybe why Arsenal would walk away from Tielemans. Maybe that's no longer a priority. Or maybe they look at Lisandro Martinez as somebody who can come into that midfield in the absence of Xhaka or Partey and give us what we need there as well. So perhaps that's part of the thinking. And then I understand the comparisons with Javier Mascherano for sure. Thank you for your question, mate. Let's keep moving through the chat box. In fact, let's check in just quickly on the likes as well, because I asked for us to take it up to 300. We're only on 258. Let's push the target up to 400 now, because there's nearly 900 of you watching. Smash the like button if you haven't done so already. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. We want to hit 21,000 this evening, so please do get involved. Big shout out to Wesbird as well. Hope you're good joining us in the live chat. Patrick says, Harry, what role do you expect Sambi to play next year? I think he will have a breakthrough year. I hope so, because I had really, really high hopes for him when we signed him. I'd done a fair amount of research on him last summer and really liked the look of him. I thought he carried the ball brilliantly. I thought he turned and always looked to be on the half turn in the kind of way that I love to see a midfielder play. You know, I thought he brought so much to the table when he was signed. And then obviously he had to play a couple of times with very weak partners and in a side that was, you know, broken based on injuries and, you know, COVID cases and other problems, a lack of depth. I thought he was hung out to dry on a couple of occasions. The Nottingham Forest FA Cup game comes to mind. And then the Brighton game at home where we lost, which really derailed our hopes of finishing in the top four. When he was played in that midfield and Granit Xhaka was taken out of there to play at left back, I thought he really struggled that day as well. So I thought he was hung out to dry, as I say, on more than one occasion last season. There'll be invaluable experiences if he can channel them in the right way and if he can take a positive away from them and a learn away from them, as opposed to allowing them to just damage his confidence. I think he's a confident lad. I think he's got a good coach around him and I think he's got good teammates around him. And I'm hoping that, as you say, this year will be a breakthrough year. But I just expect him to be a squad midfielder this season. I think if a loan offer were to come in, I would consider it, but only if it was the right offer. Like, you know, I've seen some people talking about a move to the Championship. There's been a lot of links with Vincent Kompany, who is a big admirer of Sambi Lokonga, who worked with him at Anderlecht and is going to take over supposedly as the Burnley manager. I don't know if that's already done. It might already be confirmed. I can't remember so much attention or care I have for Burnley. But yeah, there's been links there. I don't know if I want to see Sambi Lokonga drop down into the Championship and have his legs smashed into week after week. So I'd rather see him be a squad player. I'd rather see him be involved at Arsenal. I think the Europa League group stage in particular gives him an amazing opportunity to show what he can do on the European stage. Looks like we've hit the 21K. Thank you guys so much. Brilliant to get there live on the stream. Always brilliant to see that we're moving forward. Thank you all so much. We've got the 300 likes apparently as well. Let's push it up to 400 then. There's more than 800 of you watching. It should be easy as pie. Come on, let's do it. Okay. What else have we got? Hold on. I'm just scrolling through the chat. There's so much in the chat. It updates constantly, which is amazing. You know, couldn't ask for better interaction. But when I've got a place in the chat and then I move the mouse and it all disappears, it is a nightmare. Where are we? Matt Hayhow says, where to send them? I've got one for you from the Cincinnati Gooners, talking about the scarf. You know what? DM me, mate. DM me on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll let you guys know. It'd be amazing because I've got my little studio here, and I'd love to sort of decorate it with flags and scarves and all of that from all the different supporters clubs. Yeah, so no problem. DM me. I'm not going to put my address on YouTube because, some of the people that don't like me might turn up at my door one day or something. But yeah, let me know for sure. DM me on either platform, on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll get back to you for sure. Let's take this one from Wes Bird. To progress, surely we need to add strength and quality to all areas of the pitch in order to get us back to the level that means we're challenging again, and we can only do that by quality. Yeah, statement more than a question, but an absolutely spot on one. Okay, let's keep moving forward. This is a really interesting point. Where is it? From Clock End Seb. It wasn't a question asked. The sun is coming right in my face. It wasn't a question asked, but he says we'll be lucky to bank more than 40 million from any of our deadwood. And I agree with this. That's why I've highlighted it. I wanted to bring it up because a lot of people keep talking about, you know, the idea of raising funds this summer. And I think that the club are pretty much resigned to the fact that they're not going to get an awful lot in for players that clearly nobody wants to pay for. You know, largely based on what they've shown over the last few years, but largely based on the fact that they know we're desperate to get rid. You know, someone wants rid of something, you're not going to go and offer top dollars. I agree with you, mate. In fact, I'd be surprised if we even got 40 mil, to be honest. I haven't seen any response from that Crete question. And I asked, where are you? But what I will say is if you're eating in an all-inclusive hotel, that's bloody why. Get out, go around, check it out. When I go to Greece, Cyprus, or any of the Greek islands, I don't go all inclusive because I don't want to eat hotel food. There's some beautiful restaurants, and I'm actually going out to Crete next summer because my mate is getting married out there. So I will be out there for hopefully a couple of weeks in August next year. But yeah, my favorite part of Crete, though, is a place called Chania, which is it's quite away from Heraklion. You won't be able to do that you could do it in a day, but spend a lot of the day in the car. But yeah, that's where I'd look at. But as I say, get out of the hotel, go to some more local places, and I'm sure you'll find better food. In fact, I'm certain you'll find better food. Go to the places that are full of locals. That's always the telltale sign. Thank you all again for your messages regarding the 21K. Fantastic. Let's move on. I'm going to pick out a couple more before I love you and leave you. Billy Anderson says, any idea what's happening with Reece Nelson this season? Seems to be no talk. Yeah, I mean, it's one that we've not heard an awful lot about. As you say, it's one that clearly, you know, we don't have a lot of insight into at this moment in time. My guess would be that Reece Nelson will leave. If I had to stick my neck out and predict how this one might go, I don't think that this is a deal that Arsenal are particularly bothered about, how it goes down in terms of what his future holds. If he was that important to Arsenal, I think there would have been a big song and dance about keeping him. I'd imagine he's going to leave. Where he'll go, I don't know, if I'm honest with you. And I'm sure it's one of those that will probably be resolved by the end of the window, but we're just not quite there yet. What else have we got? Nikhil says, Harry, can you rate Martinez, Tielemans, Rafinha and Jesus in the order of their necessity right now to Arsenal? That's a good question. There's another good question that's just come through as well, which I'll make the last one. So the first answer, can I rate Martinez, Tielemans, Rafinha and Jesus in the order of necessity right now? Jesus is right at the top of the list for me. Rafinha is second, because I think we do need to add some quality in those wide forward areas to complement and take some of the burden off of the guys that we've already got, but also support Jesus if he is the centre forward. So Jesus, Rafinha, Martinez, and then Tielemans. I think we could get away without signing Tielemans if Martinez is this versatile player that we think he is. And if Fabio Vieira, if the plans for Fabio Vieira, as were indicated in The Athletic, are for him to drop into a slightly deeper midfield area, then if that's the case, then yeah. And that's my order. And finally, I'm going to take this last question. Actually, I'm going to take one more as well, because it's a really good one too. Let me just favorite it so it doesn't disappear. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to answer this one. I'm going to take one more, and then I'm going to love you and leave you, because we've been going for the best part of an hour. I've made it through without sneezing once, without reaching for a tissue to blow my nose once. So I don't want to tempt fate by going too much longer. Fort Lauderdale Gunnar Craig, the man responsible for sending me this absolute masterpiece of a scarf. There it is. Fort Lauderdale Gunnar's beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, mate. He says, Harry, if we land all our rumoured signings, what would your starting 11 be? Oh, I'm going to quickly write this down as I'm doing it so that I don't confuse myself. But it'll be Ramsdale in goal. It'll be Tommy at right back. It'll be White and Gabriel at centre back. Because I think that when the two fullbacks were fit, I think that them two were a really good partnership. And it would be Tierney, obviously, when he's fit, at left back. In midfield, for me, if we don't sign Tielemans, which it looks unlikely at the moment, I'm going with Partey. I'm going with Xhaka. I'm going with Odegaard, Jesus, Saka, and Rafinha. So that would be my 11. Let me just run through that again. Ramsdale in goal. Tomiyasu, White, Gabriel, Tierney. Partey, Xhaka, and Odegaard in midfield with Saka, Rafinha on the flanks and Jesus through the middle. But then on the bench, you'd have Martinez. You'd have Saliba, who's obviously rumoured to be coming back into the picture. You'd have Lokonga. You'd have Elneny. You'd have Martinelli. You'd have Emile Smith-Rowe. You'd have Nketiah. You'd have Matt Turner. Just to, and I've missed some players out there as well. You'd have so much strength and depth there. And that's what Arsenal need at the moment. So, yeah, listen, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I think that actually our starting 11 when everybody was fit last season was pretty damn good and pretty strong. And if you look at the results that we picked up with that team, we were pretty much as good as anyone. It was when we had problems that we kept, with injuries and availability, that we had a lot of issues. Again, the Xhaka talk's going to come out now. How the hell does Xhaka still get in? He does for me on that basis. I didn't even put Fabio Vieira on the bench there when I was talking through it. So we could potentially be incredibly strong. If we got Tielemans in there, then Xhaka would drop out of the 11 for me and Tielemans would go in there in most games. But there would be games where I'd still go to Xhaka to give us that little bit more stability. But look, once the transfer window's wrapped up, or we have at least a very good idea of what the team's going to look like, we can do a whole show on that and we can talk through it and we can discuss it and we can break it down in a hell of a lot more detail. Final question from Oyunçula, who joins us from Turkey. He says, what do you think about our academy players like Patino, Balogun, Brook? Will they stay with us or will they go on loan for one more year? I think some of them will stay with us. Do you mean Brook, Norton, Cuffy? Look, I think those guys have futures, but we need ready-made players now. We need success now. And maybe we can wait a year, or 2 years. Maybe Mikel Arteta and Arsenal are prepared to wait for a short period of time. But there's no way, you know, that they're going to put their eggs in the baskets of those players, you know, sort of now at this early stage in their careers. So, I want them to do well. I just don't think that they're ready at this stage, and I don't think they're going to be ready next season. Balogun, I was kind of peeking in and out of his time at Middlesbrough. I didn't see anything to suggest that he's ready now. Different league, different team, different style of play. Get all of that. I kind of decided, based on what I saw at the back end of last season, that for me, Nketiah is ahead of him in terms of the progression line. Wondered if he'd sort of be pushed forward if Nketiah was to move on. But obviously, Nketiah isn't going anywhere. He's just signed a 5-year deal with a club. So, yeah, great questions. Great interaction, as always. Look, there's nearly 1,000 of you with us right now. Come on, let's get those likes up to 500. Hit the like button now. Let's do it. Like, subscribe to the channel if you are new, and I'll be back very, very soon with more Arsenal content, hopefully with some news to announce in the coming days. Fingers crossed, we can hope, right? Thank you all so much, as I say, for your interaction, for your kind words, for your support, for helping us reach 21K subscribers this evening as well. I'll catch you all very, very soon. Until next time, goodbye.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.